Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Kind of hard to say hello to everybody on mute, so maybe I'll unmute. It's going to be a long night if it's going to start already. Anyway, hello, and welcome to Fill My Eyes and Learn with Poetry. Happy Friday, everybody, and thank God for that. It's a wonderful day of the week. I don't know quite what the charm is of a Friday, other than for those that work, you know, having the weekend off. But I look forward to Friday, though, always. Sorry about that. I'm a little distracted. Anyway, you know, I hope everybody had a wonderful week, and I hope you all have a better weekend ahead. And hello, Laurent, and how are you tonight?
Well, I'm pretty good, although I'm a little bit puzzled at your uncertainty about Friday.
This is now license given us to eat, drink, and be merry.
I know, but, you know, I wouldn't be so confused except for I have a little fella here who needs a Band-Aid and, you know, everything happens at 10 o'clock. You know, it's just, so I'm a little distracted by that whole thought. So,
let's
yeah, Friday. Friday's
wanton.
Always been wonderful.
Let's not forget wanton.
Fridays are always wonderful, wonderful days. Always. It's that day to kick back. Everybody gets to kick back. Whether you work or you don't work, it's a time for everyone to get together. I guess that's what it is. Woo-hoo! Anyway, hello. Happy Friday. Oh,
indeed. Happy 2022. You know, it's the nice, mild winter we've been having.
Sure. I don't know about you.
I'm being old facetious.
Yeah.
No, it's been a bitch
good.
Of a winter.
This is looking kind of crummy. Look, we got two callers on the line already. Isn't that a
it
wonderful
feels like
thing?
Martha and Cam, it's coming through.
Oh, Lord, I don't know. Hang on, I can't hear you. Here we go again. Hi. I'm going to pick up the lines now. I don't know. Hello, area code 254. Who's calling, please?
Passions Thomas.
Hey, Passions. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you? It's Friday.
If I was any better, I'd be twins. You know? That's my standard. I'm going to convince myself of that someday for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me try this number. Hello, 877. Who's calling, please?
Hey, guys, it's Dan DeShino calling in.
No way. It can't be Dan DeShino.
It can't be, no.
How are you?
Yes,
I know. I haven't heard your voice in so long.
It's been a long time.
Absolutely.
But
here's
the good thing. I had a really bad day today, but here's the good thing. It's Friday. I don't know if anybody's mentioned that
Amen.
In the show yet.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, I have. A couple times.
So we are. So
my mind.
I'm here to, instead of take out my aggressions, relax and get some poetry and absorb the peacefulness.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Now,
Gene. Yep, trying to put up and absorb all that positivity. Yes, Laurent.
That's right.
Who else do we have on the line besides Mr. DeShino?
It's you, me, Passions Promise, and Dan DeShino.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are either of you in a hurry, or are you good for a while?
We'll see when slumber. We'll see when slumber speaks. So I should be good for a while. I have no control over that. That would be age.
You mean when the Sandman gets you by the back of the neck? I understand that.
Exactly.
Okay, okey-doke. Well, we will just play it by ear, kind of. You know, well, this way we do every show. Okay, let me grab this one. Okay, Laurent, I'm going to have you kick us off with your classic poem for tonight. That'll be wonderful.
All righty then. Said somebody. Whoops, that was the wrong one. That's the right one. Okay. Tonight's classic poet is Christina Georgina Rossetti, noted Victorian poet. And this is called A Dream. Once in a dream, for once I dreamed of you. We stood together in an open field. Above our heads, two swift-winged pigeons wheeled, sporting at ease and courting full in view. When loftier still, a broadening darkness flew, down swooping, and a ravenous hawk revealed. Too weak to fight, too fond to fly, they yield. So farewell, life and love and pleasures new. Then, as their plumes fell fluttering to the ground, their snow-white plumage flecked with crimson drops, I wept, and thought I turned towards you to weep. that you were gone, while rustling hedgerow tops bent in a wind which bore to me a sound of far-off, piteous bleat of lambs and sheep. End poem. I selected this one because she was the day's famous poet, and this particular piece because it struck a nerve, especially those last lines, that you were gone, a rustling hedgerow top spent in a wind which bore to me a sound of far-off piteous bleat of lambs and sheep. It is the word piteous, as if the lambs were in trouble or very, very hungry, perhaps. And perhaps that's the way she felt when she wrote the poem. Well, Dan, why don't you give us some insight on this?
Oh, I will try as best I can here. I don't know a lot about this poet, but to me this is, I take it as a dream. And it's very interesting to me that it's once in a dream, for once I dreamed of you, we stood together in an open field. And then above our heads, two swift pigeons wheeled, sporting at ease and courting in view. So there they are. That's them. That's the two people in the as the pigeons. And all of a sudden, yeah, the hawk came down and just kind of destroyed everything for her, and destroyed both of them. But she was still there, but he was gone. So it was very, very interesting how in, you know, she's in a romantic, you know, situation here, and then a hawk comes down and kind of destroys everything, but really just takes away her love, which is really interesting in a dream that she's saying. You know, normally you think of a dream as something, you know, positive. I'm dreaming about this great place. And her dream is that her, you know, her love is taken away from her, which is very, very interesting to me. So
great,
I thought
comment,
it was beautiful.
Dan.
I mean, yeah, beautiful, though.
You've advanced my understanding considerably. Thank you. And passions? Promise, please.
I totally agree. I feel the same way. It was breathtaking at the beginning and then sad at the end, I don't know the poet either, but she got the emotion out there. I mean, you know, even for a dream, she did really well. I liked it.
Great comment, my dear. Right. Thank you. And Jean, back to you.
Well, I have to say, guys, if you don't know Christina Rosen, check her out. She's got some great stuff out there. I'm not familiar with all of hers. I know the ones that I have heard were wonderful. And thanks, Lauren, for picking up where I left off, because I was on mute and telling you how wonderful the read was and everything for the phone. But it was a great choice for tonight. And I have to laugh because my poem ends with a line about dreams. So that made me laugh. I'm going, okay, you know, here we are. Crazy ass. But good stuff. Very nice choice. And, yeah, like I said, Christina Rossetti is pretty... pretty talented, so it was nice to hear something like that. Enjoyed it. Okay.
I think Goblin Market, we've heard before, have we not?
Oh, my God. That is an incredible poem. It just goes on and on and on forever.
Yeah.
It does. But it's wonderful. That whole thing is just, it's amazing. Anyone who can hold a thought for that incredibly long piece of time. Now, maybe my imagination's crazy, but I think it's really long, isn't it? I think Pam read that one, didn't she?
I seem to remember it as length, yeah.
I think Pam read that on one of the shows one night.
That was before internet and cell phones. If she wrote it now, let's see how long it would be, right?
I'm telling you.
Pension spans were a little better back then.
Okay. Okay, Doug. I'm going to start here. Passions, can I get you to read the first one for tonight?
I don't have. I'm sorry, but I don't have access to that. I mean, if you send me the link, That's what they've been doing on the show. They send me the link. They send me the links, and I've been reading.
Right. Yeah. Let me give that a whirl.
Come on, give it a whirl,
Let's
girl.
See how that. Yeah. Well, you know.
That's it. That's what we need. Some Friday spunk.
Oh, that's what I'm known for. Spunk.
Be careful how much though, because you'll have to clean it up on Saturday.
I know.
That's right, because I don't clean up after these poets on Friday night. Okay. I sent it, guys.
I got it. Okay.
I'm sorry,
Phil,
I don't see anything posted.
I'm sorry?
I apologize. I don't see anything posted. I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt.
I don't either.
I didn't post it. Yeah, you're probably right. Here we go. I'm getting there. I guess someday I'll figure it out. Here we go. By Phoenix Radio.
Standard model incomplete. A disturbance in the field is that which imbues life, the exact frequency of the nature of the disturbance, perhaps a ripple in a wave, remains unknown. Something about enthusiasm, I suspect, an amplifier of emotion, conical in shape, a second generation mutation. High-energy collisions of universal particles, fundamental forces at play, binding and repelling, recombining and canceling. Something missing is pursued in modern terms, reductionist. Localization despite pervasiveness, discovery found with established bounds, not by extension. Cosmological constants stretching across time are also defined by it. Invisible substance, lending our existence, feeling that the void perceived. Repulsion is winning, so we're slowly tearing apart, even though union can be equally rewarding. Both exist, just varied by polarity, positive or negative, creating a binary communication, reflection, and interaction, on or off. One is absolutely defined by the other, a singular particle displaying both simultaneously according to its orientation to others remains incomplete. End poem.
Wow.
Great read. Standard model incomplete, you know, not to be flipped. I could feel a movement in the force when I was reading this particular poem. Triggered by a disturbance in the field, it is that which imbues life. The second generation permutation, high energy collisions of universal particles, we begin to talk about the smallest parts of the greater whole and the fundamental forces that allow life, allow atoms, the binding and the repelling, the recombining and the canceling. And yet, something missing is pursued in modern terms. Reductionist, looking for something that fills in the small voids, as the poet says, invisible substance, lensing our existence, filling up the voids perceived. This is a difficult poem to nutshell. It's very well written, but I would need several readings to kind of tear apart the polarities, positive or negative, of this particular piece. At first blush, I do like it quite a bit. But my understanding of it may have to be postponed until Daniel renders his verdict.
Sure. I really like this a lot. I incorporate science and philosophy into a lot of my stuff, so that I'm a big fan of the science, poetry, and philosophy all together. I think it's just all beautiful. To me, I think it's all the same. I think science is philosophy. I think science is religion, and vice versa. So I really just love the the descriptions on here, and standard model incomplete, the way I take that is really just kind of talking about how everything is kind of always evolving. You know, you go all the way back, a disturbance in the field is that which imbues life. The exact frequency of nature of the disturbance, perhaps a ripple in the wave, remains unknown. So, you know, that whole beginning of just how life, you know, started, we don't necessarily know, some sort of a disturbance, something that happened, but it started. And then, you know, the standard model is still incomplete. We're still growing. We're still coming together. And I think he's got basically a whole just beautiful, you know, again, scientific, poetic, and, philosophical descriptions all the way through. And then, remains incomplete at the end, which I just think is beautiful. I like to play around with it, with these poems too. So I like to think that a disturbance in the field, go down to the very end, remains incomplete, is a little mini poem in himself, in itself, which describes the whole thing. So I like this. I've never read this poet before that I know of, so I'm going to mark him right now.
Yeah, but what really interests me is that he says both exist, just varied by polarity, positive or negative, on or off. One is defined by the other, and then he calls it a singular particle, displaying both simultaneously. And that is the part that I have difficulty articulating my understanding of, even though it makes sense to me.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, repulsion is winning, so we're slowly tearing apart. Even though union can be equally rewarding, both exist, just very polarity, positive, negative. Yes, it's that kind of constant. You know, I was taking it almost like the universe. You know, one of the theories is that the universe is slowly getting expanding. You know, so I don't know if he's talking about that, but then we're also, you know, still evolving. So yeah, it is very, very interesting, and I love the way that it. You can, you know, there's so much different interpretation and fun ways to kind of look at it. So it's a great piece.
I exist. Of course I exist.
You do exist.
I do exist. It could be till or go some. unless this is all a take on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, God can be God. He can be Jesus as well. So here we have a particle that is one or the other. Who knows? I'm sorry. I'm not ignoring you at all. Can we have your comment?
Oh, no, I'm actually interested in what y'all are saying, because I look at it as just a life evolving, and I'm seeing a whole different light with y'all.
Good. You can sound off if you wish, or you can leave it at that if you want.
Oh, no, you guys got this.
Thank you, dear. Jean, please.
Well, you know, I have to say, I found this poem intriguing. The visual that came to my mind was like a steampunk image. Not that it had anything to do with steampunk, but I envisioned it with parts and pieces. And, it reminds me of society. You know, these people believe everything can be wonderful, and these people don't believe it'll happen. And then in the end, I see where it comes together, but there's still something missing to let it work. A strange visual in my head, I know, but I found it
That's
to be pretty intriguing, and it's clever and well done. So thank you so much, Phoenix. Great piece to think on, and a great going, you two. Cash, it's you too, but I think the fellas kind of they kind of had it a little bit under. I don't even know what the word would be.
Yeah, they had it under their belt.
The science nerds coming out, and
There you go. There you go. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Hello, area code 667. Who's calling for you?
This is Martha.
Hey, Martha. Welcome aboard.
Hi. Thank you.
Welcome aboard. Let me see.
Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Let me. Okay. Dan, I got one for you. This one is by Kenny W.
Here we go.
Bird-brained idea by Kenny W. If they draw you in for a tender kiss, upon your sweet soft lips so red, I dream of a night of loving bliss. Then I see a peacock on your head. Now I am not known as a jealous man. I am a believer of share and share alike. I love two birds in bed whenever I can, so easy to handle like riding a bike. Your ornithological friend looks grumpy, like he's got feathers and a bit of a twist. Us lying together, the road could be bumpy. Nothing worse than a proud peacock pissed. So evening, I'm giving you a wide berth. This evening I'm giving you a wide berth. I've spread my wings too far this time. Though plucking may have caused much mirth, claw marks on the back is never a good sign. Oh, sweet young child, we must say fond adieu. Your secrets are safe, I will not utter a word. Sadly, to miss out on passion is nothing new. I should lean on your right side, ignoring the bird. I am cursing now the time I spurned you. We never had a better chance to romance and play. Our hearts were both young, innocent and true. But me, too, may have accused me of flower play. End poem.
That was a great read, Dan. Great read. Could we start with passions? With passion, please.
Y'all making me want to have a drink. It was unique in its own. It had me chuckle with the bird on the head thing, but I really don't know what to say about this piece. I really don't know what to say about this one.
That's fair enough. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek going on
mm-hmm.
here. A lot of wordplay.
Yes.
That's very interesting. I'm especially drawn to your ornithological friend looks grumpy, like he's got his feathers in a bit of a twist. Us lying together, the road could be bumpy. Nothing worse than a proud peacock pissed. This feels like somebody who had a chance at a long relationship with a woman and screwed it up, and now he's run back into that woman, but she's got a peacock in her hair. So I'm cursing now the time that I spurned you. He regrets it, but that last line is too cute. But me too may have accused me of foul play. I really did like this. A nice piece. Martha, your comment, please.
I thought it was really, really good just a prompt, and I thought it showed a lot of imagination and talent. I think it was just a man that liked the way the lady was dressed, her hair getting chilly, and passed up on something that could have been good.
Thank you, Martha. Nice comment. And our fine reader, please.
I thought this was great. I love lyrical poems that are that really, really flow well. So all of the it flows very well. It's got the same amount of syllables in each line, and that was just beautiful the way he fit that all in. You know, you can see this as a song. I haven't figured out if he's talking about, you know, an actual like hat that he's saying, that maybe the woman's going out now, she's all dressed up to go, and he missed his time to go with her, or if it's a metaphor for, you know, the old timey hat, and they used to call, you know, women, you know, derogatory, you know, that old, the old bird. There are actually two women involved in here that he's talking about now, so it's kind of interesting. But at any rate, it was beautifully written and fun, you know, and romantic, but also kind of silly. It's just, he's got all those mixes in there, so it was very, very well written.
That was a fine comment. Thank you, my friend. And Gene?
Well, you know, I thought this was pretty humorous. And, you know, Dan, I'm pretty sure it's about the hat, because that was for my fast neighbor or fascinating contest. And if you look at the image at the top, you can see she has that fascinator on that's designed to look like a peacock. I found it pretty funny, and I thought he did a good job, between his rhyming and the story he told. I found it pretty humorous, and I got a really good chuckle out of it. So thank you, Kenny, very much for writing for us, and that was a good piece. Thank you. Now, let me see. How do I keep losing things? That's what I want to know. Okay, Ms. Martha, I got one for you, if you don't mind.
Okay, just want to give to you. Okay, the lady. I have a feeling that the lady has a subconscious desire to be a blue jay. And poem.
Nice job.
Okay. Nice read. I know you had to take your time with it because of its length, but I thought you did a fine job.
I'm going to tell you.
I got to admit, I'm a little puzzled by this piece. Being a literalist, I'm reading it and I'm going, all right, okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be a blue jay. Mm-hmm. What is a blue jay? Mm-hmm. Loud and raucous? The lady? She no longer wants to be a lady. She wants to be something else, more vibrant. Now, let's see what the crowd thinks. Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I'd like to know the prompt on it, but I feel the same way. You know, a lady who's just reserved and does what she wants, nope, this one wants to fly away. Be a bird, take off, and go do her own thing. So, very nice little brevity.
Okay. And we'll check in with one more comment from Passion.
Well, talk about brevity. I was waiting for the rest of it. I would like to know the prompt as well. It took the same thing that, either it was kind of like a love me or leave me, but she would do fine on her own with or without. So, I would like to know what the prompts were to this. Just markly said in few words, I guess.
Recently, my poets, I did put a picture of the prompt up. Passion, just really consider joining the group so that way you can see the things we post in the room. Maybe not anything monumental.
Yeah, I
could
do that.
Yeah. It's so much
fun. Well, Gina, it is back to you.
Okay. I thought I was talking, but okay. I guess it's my turn.
Oh, prompt, another one for your, this one was for your contest too. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, it was another one for the Fascinators contest. That was the craziest contest, but I was like, yeah, I think it'll work. I don't know what I was doing. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put up one that has a sound from. I'm going to start with this one by Jasper. And so here we go. Up we go. And hit the button. Let me hit the button. I can find button.
Audience, a seed embarking on an evocative ethereal journey to the essence of winter. Sitting in autumn, under the warm blanket of rustled leaves and city wind singing nearby, being on the water, hanging hands, therefore, breathing with it. Looking at tender hands, a curled wisp of cloud, retreating on the roof, floating through a gentle breeze, bone between his heartbeat. His words are like a scene. Moon reflected in water, a moon does get wet, but called the blending rivers in sea. His seas cutting out. His is the dim light. His autumn moonlight, lost in the of a childhood, embracing for to quit, lying naked in a green hill. Promising a word to first in the world. Thank you.
Wow. Jazz Karen always writes to such a high level. and offers such beautiful imagery. In this particular poem, what struck me, his words are like a stream, moon reflected on water. The moon doesn't get wet, but causes dwindling ripples in stream, its peace fluttering out. Just gorgeous imagery all the way through this. And bravo to Jaskaran for continuing his fight against Wilson's disease. Well written. Passion, can we start with you, please?
I think I'm going to pass. I'm trying to figure out how to get into the group.
Okay, you got it.
I'm not trying to read.
No, no problem. No problem. It won't take you very long. Martha, please.
I think it's a very pretty poem. It's beautifully written. And it's got, like you said, it's got beautiful imagery, and it's a pleasure to read.
Thank you, Martha. And Daniel?
Yeah, this is the only one on the list that I actually read beforehand, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, he's basically describing all the thoughts in the poetry within him, you know, even though he has trouble, you know, he might have trouble expressing it physically because of his disease, but everything that's in him is just this, so beautiful the way he describes the thoughts within himself. I was very taken by it. This might be my favorite poem by him. So the whole thing is described so beautifully.
Well, that's a heartfelt endorsement. Thank you, Daniel. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Passions, they sent you the link to the group. You guys have wonderful comments on this. Jessica Ann writes such beautiful poetry. It always has wonderful imagery, and it just has a wonderful it always touches my heart. Let me put it that way. It's something about the beauty of the way he puts his words together is just pretty amazing. And this is no different than that. It's just always good. And I loved it. So, yeah. Excellent work. Okay. So, let me see now. Okay. Give me 1 second. I have to hit a button. Always hitting buttons. There's that button. And, okay, and then, the next one to read. Okay, Passions, that brings you up next for reading, so let me put that in the room for you. Oh, I have two up here with your name on them. That is so weird. Okay. You know, every now and then
Let's do them both. We could all use a double dose of passion tonight.
I'm losing my mind. So what it is, I had someone else. Well, I have someone else with the same first name that I just let in the group. Okay, so surprise. Here we go. Okay, here we go, passions. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, is it Nature's Lullaby?
I believe so. It's a poem by Sapphire Rose. Yes, that's the one.
All right. I'm in. Thank God. Nature's Lullaby. Tranquil waters mirror cloud-infested skies. Oceans serenade in deep dark tones. Wild trees whisper sacred lullabies. End poem.
Thank you, Passions. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
While trees whisper sacred lullabies is a beautiful end to a short piece that might have been longer if it was a lullaby. But it's just a beautiful image of a moment, the tranquil waters. I don't want to ruin too much of it by speaking too much about it. I simply say it's a beautiful metaphor on nature. And leave it at that. Martha, please.
I thought it was really pretty. And you could almost see the things that the poem was describing. I really enjoyed it. You did a great job.
Thank you, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I always like, every time I'm walking and I hear the trees, you know, I always think about them, you know, conversing. It brings me back to Tolkien, actually, where he kind of talks about how they kind of went silent, you know, and with his ends. If you've ever read Tolkien, his tree ends and they, you know, slowly now they're just, you know. So I really like that. But cloud-infested skies line is interesting to me because it almost kind of, the way she kind of goes down, you know, it's just interesting the way she put that in there. But I love the fact of you can picture her just sitting there listening to the trees, and that's the lullaby kind of, you know, sending her off to a nap for the day. So beautiful lines, Sapphire.
Thank you, Daniel. And Passion, let's finish with you.
It's beautiful. I feel actually, you know, if the picture wasn't there, she painted her own. The ocean serenading deep dark tones. You can hear, you can just sit back and like she's sitting on a bench and just either listening or painting and listening to the trees and the water. It's a beautiful piece. I love the Whisper Sacred Lullaby. Beautiful.
It is a beautiful piece. I was trying to ascribe something dark to it, and then last minute I decided not to, mostly because of the word infested. You know, an infestation is generally not something that is viewed as favorable. I mean, I know what she was saying there, but then I tried to assign a darker meaning to the word infested, especially when she wrote ocean serenade in deep, dark tones. I didn't really pick that up in the third stanza, but I was looking for something that probably isn't there. All right. I think we are back to you, Julie.
Oh, that's a great. Thank you so much. I have to say, I think Sapphire is a beautiful snapshot, and it's really well done. It was a matter of just, as you soak in her descriptions, it kind of lulls you where the lullaby comes in my mind. So I think that she did a wonderful job with that. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Let me see now. Okay. That brings me to Dan, I believe. Dan, does it bring me to you? It does. It brings me to you.
Sure.
Whatever I say, right? Well, for some reason. Okay, here we go, Dan.
Lots of fun brevities tonight. So this is by Jack Tomkovac called Hubcaps. Scarred dental hubcaps on abandoned cars look like helmets worn by warriors of old with spears and swords bring memories of chariot wheels. In the movie Ben-Hur, horses charging, spikes protruding, to gauge racing vehicles, I reach for my whip but find it missing. End poem.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Reed.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, Daniel. Well read. Let's start with Passion, please.
It's a pretty cool poem. I like it. Scarred, dented hubcaps on abandoned cars, like helmets worn by warriors. And then toward the end, for a minute, I was confused with to the gauge of racing vehicles. I reached for my whip, but find it missing. I may be dumb, but I get that. To me, it's going back in the day before cars with, like, racing horses. I mean, that's just me. I'm probably all off of this thing, but that's what I get from it.
dear. And Martha, please.
Who makes me think of the old Roman, where they had the Roman chariot races with the horses, and they would whip them and keep them going? And that's what it makes me think of. I think it's really well done.
Absolutely. You know, I really think that Jack followed Hubcaps to its logical conclusion. Because based on what Hubcaps do now, and based on the extension of the spikes being the earliest Hubcaps, perhaps a little violently so, I thought he took an idea and extended it and wrote something that was very interesting. Let's see. Daniel, please.
Yes, I 100% agree. You know, I think it's that kind of modern, you know, warrior that we are driving around in our, you know, war machines, the cars. Sting of the band The Police, I think it's one of the Synchronicity songs, he says, he describes cars as packed like lemmings into shiny metal boxes, contestants in a suicidal race. And, you know, it's you know, kind of interesting comparing the, you know, the new mode of transportation that we're in, right, to the older ones as you know, chariots fighting each other. Sometimes I feel like that, like you're fighting for that little spot on the road, you know, and you're battling the other drivers, and, you know, so very interesting and fun take, I thought.
Great comment, my friend. And I think that takes us back to you, Gene.
Okay, well, I think Jack did a great job. I thought it was a lot of great imagery and a clever cross-reference. So nice work, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us. And for my next magic trick, I'm going to put Martha's piece up. It's called the Breaking Stone. And let me hit the button. Oh, I didn't know what button.
Breaking Stone by Martha Gettle. I thought that I would always be alone when he left me with a heart of stone. But then suddenly there was you, and I'm thinking dreams can come true. 'Cause in your eyes I see the water flow, and in my heart I feel the love grow. I think the stone is cracking at last. I can truly put him in the past. Baby, I heard that water can break stone. Just a steady drip of water alone. I met you and the water is flowing free. And I'm seeing what the future could be. When I looked in your eyes, there I could see the water rise. You have broken open my heart of stone. In your heart, my heart has found a home. Baby, I heard that water can break stone. Just a steady drip of water alone. I met you and the water is flowing free. And I'm seeing what the future could be. We're building a raging river, you and me. And in our love I can see eternity. When I reach out, you are there in my mind. And I hold the greatest treasure I could find.
Nice job, Martha.
Thank you, Martha. Well, you used that metaphor of the stream cracking the stone beautifully. You have broken open my heart of stone. In your heart, my heart has found his home. And then, of course, the building a raging river. Now you've added something to the flow. I liked it. I really did. I like the way you you handled the water and the stone as the two polar opposites, with love being the fruit of that. Dan, excuse me, Mr. Hashino, your comments.
Yes, sir. I want to take this chance to talk about the importance of what I think when I hear Martha sing, what I think about. So I've been obsessed with music for 40 years now, and you know, started off with all the pop stuff, whatever. And what I've been finding is I'm enjoying so much more just like local little bands that I find, or just people that I see. I'm in this big community where I live, and there's like 200 practice rooms and all these little, and I just, that's what I really, really love, is the raw, just, you know, kind of common man, you know, expressing themselves. And whenever I hear Martha, that's what I always think of, is just the importance of music, and just, you know, how the passion and the, you know, expressiveness of the common man is just, to me, so much more important than listening to Michael Jackson or Beyonce. So whenever I hear Martha sing, that's what I always picture. I just picture kind of the raw, pure emotion, and you know, to me, what music is really all about, you know, just kind of people hanging around in their houses singing things. And I always love your lyrics. I think they're so from the heart, and just so full of you know, just yourself, like where you can really, you know, feel, you know, what you, like a trip into kind of just everyday people's lives. That's what I get out of your stuff, Martha. So I just wanted to give you that commentary generally about what I think of your work. This is a good example of it.
Thank you.
Did I make sense? Yeah. I have no idea if I make sense.
You make sense.
Well, this
was nice.
Go ahead, Bash, in your comments, please.
Okay. I heard Martha for the first time the other night, and she had my toe tapping then, and she had my toe tapping tonight. You could feel her, you could feel the spirit within her when she sings, you know, whole heart and all, and, you know, I could feel every word that she has put out there, and to me, that's more, like you said, that there was, it's more special than, you know, listening to Beyonce or whatever, you know, sound bright. You could actually, I feel like I could see her, you know, rocking in a chair on the front porch just singing along. I love it.
Thank you. Great comment. And I can't help but strongly agree with both of you. I mean, I feel it's fair to say that music is the universal language, and it's not just the purview of a few superstars, many of whom, I have to add, are a little overrated. See that as it may. Back to you, Gene.
Can I make a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
What did I miss?
Martha.
No.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to say that this song, I wrote this about me, because when I lost my husband, I felt like everything inside me turned to stone. And I went 12 years until I finally met someone that melted that stone.
Wow.
And I'm engaged to get married here in a few months. And that song is kind of like my testimony.
Yeah. Understandable,
awesome.
Martha. Absolutely. Congratulations is right. That's wonderful.
Holy
smokes.
And I also found out that I might not have to have surgery.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, they're going to try shots first.
Martha, I think you should write that out in the AN. This poem deserves that. That'll really add to the significance of your words, you know?
Okay, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would do it justice. That way everybody knows what it is, that it's real, that it's true. And I think you did a great job with it, Martha, as always. Your writing is, it was very well penned, I like to say.
Thank you.
Sorry? Started thinking maybe I was on mute. I think you had great stanzas throughout and a nice chorus created. So well done. Well done. And yeah, everybody can relate to that heart-melting procedure there. We've all been there at least once. You know, different degrees. Sometimes the ice is an ice stick on somebody else. But, you know, still the idea is good. Very good. Okay, Laurent, I have your piece up. So whenever you're ready.
All right. This was written for, I think, one of Pam Ray's shows. I'm not sure. But it's a poem that didn't make it into the contest in time. And I thought it would be perfect for tonight. It's called Sweet Day's Air. An image of lucid sanity, undraped reality, standing with arms akimbo, one knee slightly bent. Prioress affection, resonant in her nakedness, freshly carved as if emerging from the inner thigh of Venus, formed of purest flesh, her smile shied away from the light, peeking from shadows, filled with elfin promise. Moon eyes of her desire reflected in the silver and gold of a liquid ore streaking her dark. I would mine this gift, bring it emergent to the surface to bathe in and drown unto death. Immersion is slow, but firmly pursued, achieving an anchoring moored in the womb of ages. Her grip was of the softest iron, a velvet persuasion that pulled and yielded, drawing me backwards and forwards in rhythm of vast tides surged shorewards, breaking in a milky foam that coats the beach where we lay, wrapped in each other, listening in Sweet Day's Air. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful reading, right, Laura? I'm going to start with Passion. Can you pick up that?
Wow. One? A lot of beautiful imagery here. I mean, from beginning to end, it's beautiful, beautiful images. Moon eyes of her desire reflected in the silver and gold of a liquid ore streaking her dark. I wouldn't mind this gift. Beautiful. I mean, I've seen the prompts to this, and this is beautiful. I mean, you took and ran with it. It's a beautiful piece. A breathtaking piece.
All metaphors may be taken to their logical conclusion, by the way.
I'm rereading and rereading.
Nice comment, Patterson. And Dan, how about you, hon?
Yes, I Laurent, I always enjoy your writing. You're a pure poet in my book, and I love the beginning of the Sweet Day's Air, and then just kind of how love or passion can just kind of make the whole day sweet. And I'm just gonna pick up one verse here because all of them I think are the same, where they're just filled with just amazing imagery and so beautiful. So her grip was of the softest iron is absolute beautiful description of, you know, it's soft and it's you know, enticing, and it's great to the feel, but you're held. She's got you. You're held there. That velvet persuasion that pulled and yielded, drawing me in backwards and forwards, where that whole description is just so amazing of how you're stuck, you're drawn in, you can't leave, but it's all happiness and pleasure, right? You're bound with joy. So I thought, you know, every stanza was like that. So really beautifully well done.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
Yes. And Martha, how about you?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. I love the imagery and the flow and the. It was just a gorgeous poem. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha.
I agree with everybody. Laurent, as always, you know, this piece was just loaded with imagery.
and overflowing with an emotion that you evoke from everyone as they read. And I really enjoyed it very much. So, excellent job. Excellent.
Now, I don't want to puncture too many balloons here, and maybe I don't have to
okay.
say this, but that line, her smile shied away from the light. It was not her smile. A smile is sometimes been referred to as the smile between a woman's legs. So if you assume that and then read all the way down, the velvet persuasion I'm talking about is something a little bit different.
I don't think you needed to explain that, but okay.
Right, I wanted to make sure.
I get it.
I was with you, buddy.
It.
I was with you.
All right. That's cool.
Well, the rat wouldn't have felt like himself if he hadn't been able to bring that to light for everyone. Anyway, great job. Okay, Tyson, there's your piece up next, then.
Okay, me? Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Oh. You are my light. Please help somebody. I am begging, pleading even, it's dark. The bandage had been ripped from my heart, my soul left unstrung. All harsh memories rushed to surface, dripping in forces unknown to man. Sharpness pierces the skin, and I am muffled, hiding in these four corners, listening to demons in my head, screaming, finish it. Deeper, the dwelling, high-pitched the inner cries, I am numb to it all. Why did I listen and let you in? It all told me, warned me, and years should have chased me. Hair matted, mascara running, blood coloring the white tile. You did this. You're right. I don't deserve to live, to be happy. Vibration. What the hell? Smearing redness from the eyes. You said you cared, but how could you? He made me this monster, sting that burns. Your verses sung to me, keeping me alive, facing the darkness. How did you know? I mean, seriously, out of the blue, a message of support telling me no matter what, you love me. Me and whatever I am doing, stop it. Turn on the light and call you. I can't take another breakdown. I just can't. But I need you. And phone.
Nice job.
That was a very emotional read. And you really brought that poem alive. The emotion that you gave it. I love the lines, sharpness pierces the skin, and I am muffled, hiding in these four corners, listening to demons in my head screaming. And, wow, that's so powerful. What a right. The vividness of this, the descriptors, the pace of it, the jumping from line to line to line, exploring different facets, the overall the overall emotion. Really a solid write, leaving you with a feeling of plaintive sadness that is literally palpable. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Mark,
thank you.
Did you say me?
Yes, Martha.
I think that I totally relate to this. I've been at that point where all you can hear is the demons in your head, and living is the hardest thing you can do. I think it's a really great expression of a lot of feeling. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you, Martha. Great comment. And Daniel, how about your comment?
Yeah, this is definitely very raw and emotional, and I really... I think it's a very interesting take on the prompt, you can find happiness even when you turn on a light, because it's so you know, raw and you know, you're so unhappy with this person. And then at the end, you know, I still need him. You found some way to just find a way where you, you know, when you turn the light on, you can still find some reason why are you still there. But it was very, you know, like I said, heart-wrenching and haunting and from your inner self, I think that was, very, very interesting to read. So I appreciate you, opening up so much on that. Just such haunting imagery and, almost heart-wrenching. Like I could feel the emotions coming up in me as you were reading.
Thank you.
Great comment, Daniel. I did want to pursue one other thing. When you say you did this, you're right. I don't deserve to live to be happy. That is an absolutely strong rejection of another being. And when one person visits that kind of statement on another, that shouldn't be allowed. That's absolutely terrible. And darn right vibration. That would cause vibration. Again, beautiful piece. And Jean?
Yeah, I think this is a nicely written piece, Passion. Your emotions were very well expressed throughout, and that was a great take, I think, on that prompt. Sometimes you do have to remember just to turn on the light. Nobody should be... stuck in that kind of a darkness. Those feelings are, you know, just too real for so many. You have to remember to self back out. So well done. And a nice read, by the way.
Thank you. Well, this is a very me kind of poem. This is me. It took me 20 years to get out of that darkness and actually find someone that can put that light there. So it's been a long road, but it's a lot healthier now. So
yeah.
I thank you all for your work.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank
good
you for
your nice comment.
Mm-hmm.
Glad things have evolved.
Okay. Daniel, I have your piece up next.
All right. Yes, this is a carryover from the Valentine's Day show, so from last week, I think. It's called Timeless Treasure. So long ago, just a memory of me, when love's first true embrace, a full bond of trust, love comforted in my arms, cradled in my chest, and slept through the night, and I stayed awake. Not to miss a moment to such connection of peace and contentment. Now 10,000 nights of peaceful embrace under heaven darkness between the daylights of hell. And I awake at the midnight song to yet again hold love so close and breathe peace from her sleep. And the gold ring that I wear, a worthless simple symbol compared to the precious gem in my arms, more sought after, more priceless with each sunset that drowns the earth. End poem.
Okay. Beautiful work.
Nice
thank
job,
you.
My friend. Passion, can we start with you, please?
Yes, sir. This is a beautiful piece. The words, that actually got me choked up a little bit. Under heaven of darkness between daylights of hell, now wake up the midnight song to yet again hold love so close and breathe peace from her sleep. And the gold ring that I wear, a worthless symbol compared to the precious gem in my arms. Nothing is more important than what you have to hold. And this piece itself, sir, is priceless. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Passion. Very kind.
Great comment, Passion. I love Daniel. I love the way you, in the first stanza, you wrote, a full bond of trust, love comforted in my arms, cradled in my chest and slept through the night. And I stayed awake, not miss a moment. With such connection of peace and contentment, and that's a beautiful vision. And then you revisit the same thing 10,000 nights later, presumably years. And again I awake at the midnight song, yet again hold love so close and breathe peace from her sleep. Twice you've given us the image in different ways, but so touching, so tender, so well written. Well done.
Thank you. It's actually a true story. I remember my wife, the first time I was just lying in bed and she was sleeping, and I couldn't believe that. I was just, you know, in awe of that I was actually, you know, be able to lie with this woman. And I literally stayed up all night just enjoying being with her. So it's true. And so I was just, you know, contemplating that when I was for the prompt, whatever that contest was, and then you know, put it for the Valentine's Day show. So
well commented on. Yeah, no, there's something about the beast that we all hit that moment, don't we? When we find a loved one and they're in our arms and we can scarcely believe it. Like you said, you felt so lucky to have this woman to lie with. I mean, it's got to be at some point the supreme emotional conquest that we hope to make. And to not be rejected, but to be so fulfilled by it, is a beautiful thing indeed. Martha? Martha, are you there? Did she drop in?
Hang on a second, I'll tell you. Nope, she's still here, according to you.
Well, Martha? She may not realize she's on mute. So I'll hand it back to you, Gene.
Okay, well, Dan, this was absolutely a gorgeous compliment to your wife. And I think it's just beautiful. And I sure hope you shared it with her. I thought it was a heartfelt expression of love. Awesome job. Really awesome job.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you sitting with? What is up with that? Okay. Here we go. Okay. I have a SoundCloud. I have a couple of SoundClouds, so maybe a few of those. Okay. Here we go. This one's by Diane B, called Talkin' the Talk. So here we go.
Talkin' the Talk by Diane B. I was born in Newfoundland, up on Canada's eastern coast, an island we called the Rock, or God's country for most. My native tongue was English, but I too spoke Newfoundlandese. And in other parts of Canada, they thought it was Chinese. Some things you should know if you come to visit the Rock. If they ask you, are you hungry? You say, yes, by fire up a scar. What he at is, what are you doing? Who's your parents is who knit ya? And if you want to wish them good fortune, it's long may your big jib draw. Stay where you to till I come to where you're at means stay there till I get there. Say buddy or missus when you don't know their name. Like, buddy, could you get me a beer? Rod, it means you're pissed off. And crook, it means you're cranky. And if someone calls you ducky, they ain't looking for hanky-panky. I'll put the old slut on, put the wood in the hole, and then we'll have us a yarn. Means I'll put the kettle on, you close the door, and we'll go for a chat in the barn. We tend to drop our H's and T's, so this is this and that is that. And if you should visit a Newfoundland, you don't have to remove your ass. So if you wonder what the rock looks like. It's that picture that I stuck up above. And all those people that come from away, well, that's who the Newfies love. End poem.
Wow, that had me laughing and choking at the same time. What a clever look at the Newfie vernacular, the slang of the islands, and somebody thought it was Chinese. That is so good. I love the slang. I love the vernacular. Rocket means you're pissed off. Crooked means you're cranky. And if someone calls you ducky, they ain't looking for hanky-panky. So nice. Passion, why don't you start, please?
I don't even know where to begin. I like it in the whole. Indian sound like. But I like the whole piece. It was just awesome. I just like it. This is a save. I am saving this as we speak.
Thank you, dear. And Martha, is Martha back with us? Or?
I have no idea. She's still sitting
there,
as far as I know.
All right, Daniel, we'll go right to you.
Yeah, I love it too. I actually saved it as well because I love that type of vernacular. So this is like so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Here's my favorite part of the read though. At the very end, she goes, "End poem." Like, darn tootins. That's where I'm from. That was actually the part of the read that I loved the most is the way she said "end poem." Because she was just like so proud of, here I am. This is where I'm from. These are my people. You know. I wish I could be the same from Boston because we all sound like kind of morons sometimes. But I love the newfound the vernacular here.
Guys, just,
so much fun. That's right. Exactly. So yeah, I love the Diane. I marked it as well too to reread again.
Great comment, my friend. And Jean, I'm going to send it back to you.
Okay. I think that it was a great write. I thought it was humorous. I loved the read. And, you know, I love the education, too. You know, can't help but laugh and chuckle.
The other thing, too, that I was reading Casey Day's comment on there, the bagpipes. I don't know if bagpipes are Newfoundland thing. I didn't know that, but I guess they are. So I learned something about Newfoundland, too. And Casey on the post mentioned bagpipes, and yeah, that was the other thing that got me too was the, you know, I don't know if there's anybody know, I don't know if that's a part of their culture, but I guess it is.
Yeah, me neither. I did not know that bagpipes had anything to do with Newfoundland, but then again, I'm not like, you know, the expert. But I'll take Diane's word for it. She knows how they talk, so
there you go.
A choice for a reason.
That's
pretty
funny. True.
I got a kick out of it. Okay, so let me see now. You know, the stuff we don't learn on LNP, that's what I'm going to say. It's all good. Okay, let me see. Okay. But what? I have one for you to read. I'll that out of
Frank
order
said
here.
Bagpipes. And Frank said bagpipes in Spain too. So ignorant me thinking it's mostly Scotland. I guess so. I like
that. I didn't know the bagpipes were universal.
Yes.
Okay, Laurent. Whenever you're ready, I put this piece up.
All right. This is called "Up in Smoke." My Incubus. Sky turned black by liquid tar, as an illicit smoker leaves her carbon monoxide footprint, as nicotine whispers in her ear. Breathe deep, and thus poison the very air with aching lungs, exhaling hydrogen cyanide. You can, with liquid lead and arsenic, watch the flowers wither and die. And like nature's private pathologist, inter the earth with formaldehyde and place a stone at world's end. Rest in peace. End poem.
Nice to meet you, Ron.
I'm a smoker.
And me too.
To read things like this, it really does.
Read made me want to smoke.
Poison the very air. I'm sorry, what?
That made me want to smoke.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to light one. I got to make one first. Yeah, no. like nature's private pathologist, enter the earth with formaldehyde and place the stone at world net. What a powerful ending. What an indictment of nicotine. And thank you to the companies who so willfully marketed death to all of us. I tell you what, I never smoked. And when I was in the Navy in boot camp, they were giving smoke breaks to everybody who smoked, 15 minutes. People who didn't smoke had to keep working. So I said, hey, I'm a smoker. And that's how I started. So I blame the U.S. Navy. There you go.
Yes, I'm guessing that Incubus is not a smoker after his take on the prompt. But I kind of took it two ways, where it was he was basically making a comment on, like, she looks like she's enjoying herself, but she's just really killing herself and the world, but also almost like a love affair where embracing it, I almost took it as almost a romantic, but, like, you know, this is almost like the passion of the smoking, where the carcinogenic part of it is the part that she's embracing for whatever reason. So I thought it was very, very interesting and beautifully beautifully written to be able to write such, you know, deathly things, but make it so so enticing to read. So very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Great comment, Daniel. And passion, please. I like saying that. And passion, please.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Say it enough, maybe it'll happen.
Right. There you go.
I agree. It was brilliantly written. You know, And of course, like I said, I'm a smoker, so I was taking it one way, and then as nicotine whispers in her ear, and I'm, you know, it's like she's choosing it over him, maybe, you know, kind of, and I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of a feel that I get, but it was brilliantly written.
Thank you very much. Great comment. And back to you, Jean.
Okay. Well, I think that this was a very powerfully written piece. You know, nicotine whispers in her ear. Well, you know, all of us that are hooked, you know, it is like a whisper in your ear. It's that constant, you know, thought of having to have it, needing it, wanting it. And I totally get that. And, you know, this must go somewhere, you know. The image is very intriguing. I love how she's shouldered by mountain. You know, shouldering her like a shawl, you know, and she's just poisoning everything by the image itself. Maybe a little dramatic. Maybe not. What do I know? I don't smoke those things. Anyway. I thought it was just a great piece and nicely done. So apparently there was a, maybe that's just a little glossary for him. But I thought maybe it was a word bank at first. Anyway, great job, Incubus, and thanks for sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, by the way, everyone, Diane D. in the room said Newfoundlanders came from Scotland, and
and Ireland. Wow. Can you read it? So she put that in the room for us. So now we're a little more educated than we were. You know, it's pretty good like that. Okay. So my next one, the next poem I'm putting up is by Casey Day. And Passion, if you could be so kind as to read that for us, that would be wonderful. No problem, Martha.
Falling Bird by Casey Day. Always said I'd fly away to learn about your world someday, but I broke my wing on a hanging branch. So now I sit alone and wait for God or Earth to decide my fate, and all my dreams just sort of avalanche. Oh, but a bird without her wings has such a lovely voice to sing. Proudly sing I do, can you hear me? And if it's fate that I should die without ever kissing the sky, will you still have the heart to believe? I am just a bird without her wings, dreaming of a day when I can sing loud enough for you to hear me all. Would you break my fall? Would you break my fall? Would you break my fall? End poem.
Nice read.
That was a gorgeous song, and a beautiful poem as well.
Okay.
Daniel, could you start us off, please?
Sure, I would love to. I'm definitely a fan of Casey's poetry. She has such a passion for life and everything that she writes. Like, this is about a bird that you know, broke his wing and fell there, and is kind of sitting there like for help. But the bird is still like, you know, wants to sing and is just can't wait to just kind of, you know, get up and get life fixed and keep going on. And so it's just every stanza is just so beautiful. You know, I'm just a bird without her wings, dreaming of the day when I can sing loud enough for you to hear me call. Would you break my fall? You know, always, there's always that hope, right? There's always hope of wherever you are, you know, I'm going to have this day. I'm going to, you know, eventually I'll get my day. I'll be able to fix my life. I'll be able to kind of, you know, move on. And I'm waiting for that, you know, the help that I need. So, you know, I found this very inspirational and really beautiful. I also like the composition of it, the rhyming scheme and kind of the way it was just put together is very, very interesting and beautiful as well, too. So, Casey, another triumph. Nice job. I know she's listening, so that's why I told her that this is the. She's in the chat somewhere.
Thank you, Daniel. And
I like
and
that
Passion,
picture, too. That's a fun picture.
Passion, could you comment, please?
Oh, sorry. I loved it. As I was reading it, I could picture the little bird. And I think she did a great job with, you know, things that relate to life. And I agree with Dan, the rhyme scheme is one that I particularly like as well. And she did it, she laid it out really well. I loved it. Great job, Casey.
Thank you. Great comment. I enjoy the title and the image. There's such trust, the kind of a magic trust between a bird and a human being, other animals as well, but certainly birds. I've often wondered how they view us, and the metaphor works so well. I always said I'd fly away to learn about your world someday, but I broke my wing on a hanging branch. Many times, first one out of the nest is a young one. They meet that rude world and they break and they need to mend. But, you know, while you're mending, you need something or someone to hold you up, to support you, so you can sing again, as it were. She does a beautiful job with the metaphor. I may be broken, but not completely. You know, oh, but a bird without her wings has such a lovely voice to sing. Proudly sing I do. Can you hear me? You know, would you break my fall? Would you be there for me until I mend and can sing again? Just gorgeous stuff. Nice job, Casey. And Jane, it's back to you.
Okay. Well, Casey, I think this was a nice reflection of the prompt, and I think you created a well-expressed metaphor throughout. Great job. Okay. And for my next magic trick, Martha, are you back, by the way? Oh, no, Martha dropped. Yeah. Okay.
She had a phone call, I guess.
Yeah, but that's why she was busy before, so I didn't know if she was available now. Okay, the next one we're going to put up is by a friend. And did I put it up? No, I did not. There we go. And there it goes, and let me hit the button.
I suffer from an acute form of horrible rigidity called catalepsy. A death-like trance that is my crippling phobia to be buried alive. The condition that haunts me in my incessant phantoms of nightmares. A Stygian chamber visible. My recurring fear, then dubiety. Upon a somber day of this that I shall never forget its true terror, I'd awaken to discover my body in a casket of pitch darkness, all alone with no way to escape the suffocating lack of air. Listen, I began to gasp my fading breath. The sheer panic that seized me. I bolted on the casket open to free myself afterwards, screaming vociferously for someone to hear my desperate cry for help. But no one, not even a wandering soul, it had seemed, was listening. For I was, I thought, within the awful serpent's clutch of my dreadful death. The agonist minute had stalled to become evaporating seconds, and I was covered in the melting moisture of my profound sweat. My veins felt like bursting in my beating heart, thumbed, enthumbed, as the flight of madness had overtaken my gripping sanity, folding at the seams. I had attempted to make me believe this was only a surreal episode, even though death was consuming me inside its powerful hold, coiling a sound of thunder roared, with drops of rain striking the casket, and I took what I thought was to be my final breath of life upon the earth. Suddenly I had heard the pecking of a powerful beak of a creature who perforated a continuous hole that had been made thenceforth by the torn slivers of the wood and the whistling wind bustling fast. It was a lone sable raven that had stared into my bulging eyes. I was saved at last and clawed my way out to rise upon the soil. Yes, yes, alive! Raven croaked and flew away, to be seen thus, nevermore. The boundaries which divide life from death are at best shadowy and vague. Who shall say where one ends and where the other begins?
Well, I'm not sure when I've ever had my breath stolen so effectively by words. Frank does in his bio describe himself as a voice actor, and I think it's quite obvious that he's very good at it. Certainly this particular piece is well acted out with a breathless urgency that keeps the listener on the edge of their seat. I'm not even going to try and quote anything from his piece because I could not do it the kind of justice that he so ably did. I will simply turn it over to Daniel.
I was thinking the exact same thing I wanted to quote, but I don't want to read any of the lines after that reading. Frank, that was probably my favorite reading, honestly, I ever heard of Frank. I just loved it, and I really enjoy the story aspect of it. I enjoy Frank's romantic pieces, but I do like when he kind of tells a story. It just takes me multiple places. First of all, you know, I think Poe would be envious of this. This is so Edgar Allan Poe to me, and it really channeling him. He always kind of takes me back to like Vincent Price and these old, you know, the old radio shows. So I love listening to it. And this one was such an amazing story. It honestly makes me want to hear more. So fantastic, Frank. I also do not want to quote again anything on here to not do it justice. Amazing. One of my favorites you ever did. And I'm going to have to say goodnight on that aspect. I do have to go. Do I dare try to go to sleep after hearing this poem? I don't know, but we'll see what happens and what my dreams become. But thank you all for the honor of having me, and everybody have a good night.
Well, good night. Angel.
Hey, Leanne, you have a great night, and thanks for joining us. I appreciate it very much.
As a side note, I'll mention that poetic certainly writes within the Victorian era, and then there was a, I won't call it a fad, but there was a pervasive horror among the population of that time of being buried alive, to the extent that caskets were rigged up with ropes and bells that the interred body, upon awakening, could pull the string and ring the bell. That was, I'm sure, part of the inspiration for this, because he would know that. And Passion, I'll give it to you.
Passion drop, Laurent.
It's you and me, then.
Yes, it is. Yes,
good.
It is.
Now's
just
the moment for Passion.
Yeah. That's what you said. I feel full of sheep. Frank, I think you did an excellent job with this. You know, there's a certain quality in your voice when you do these dark rites. You do them well because your voice just carries the words. I think it was a wonderful write to the prompt, and I think that, you know, you just did a fabulous job. As always, the audios are always wonderful, and the rites are no less. So thanks for sharing that with us. For sure. Look, we don't have very many rites left, so let's see what we got. Well, Pam did not call in, so I guess that is on hold. And I'm going to put up the piece by Argo Wings. But that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Well, I'll drink some more, Frank. Drink some more. Okay. Here we go. Argo Wings.
Urban trance. Twilight's bloom wanes, easing us into the silky warmth of an early September eve. How I've longed for the far-flung transparency of the desolate wild, to loiter as dust against an unbound spread of star clusters, or be nestled into the cerulean haze of a rogue nebula. But light pollution's stamp is the solitary murk this town concedes to me. Such night, I'll withdraw to my dossier of star-capped hills and bathe in vagary's kiss, indulging in the striking reflection of a meteor shower glancing off Lake Superior's glassy face.
Nice job, Argo.
Yeah, you could see her looking at the night sky and having to withdraw to the dossier of star-capped hills and bathe in vagary's kiss. Because when you're in an urban setting, the light pollution will oftentimes dim so much of the sky you can't see certain stars. As she says, a light pollution stamp is the solitary murk this town concedes to me. In other words, to find the dark, you have to go elsewhere, usually by yourself. You can just see, especially around Lake Superior, I can just see going out at night, just staring up at the night sky and becoming so filled with the vision. I mean, it's a sprawling universe out there, and we can imagine whatever we want. She does a beautiful, beautiful job with this, especially with phrases like, to loiter as dust against an unbound spread of star clusters, or to be nestled into the cerulean haze of a rouge nebula. Wow, that's writing. That's writing, Gene.
Yeah. She has a wonderful way with words. I always enjoy her writes. And I love her audios as well, because her voice truly matches the way she writes, and her writing matches her voice. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't always go hand in hand, I have to say. But I think that she just does such a beautiful job with everything that I've heard her read. Pretty incredible. Her imagery is always spot on and wonderful. And it kind of takes you on this I don't even want to use the word journey, because to me a journey implies, you know, footsteps or such. This is, you kind of just kind of flow through this one, you know, and it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. So thank you so much, Melissa, and I loved it. Loved it. Nice work. Okay. There we go. Let me see what I have left over here. Not a ton. Not a ton. What's our singing? There we go again. Okay. What we have. I have two pieces left. And I guess that's what I'm going to do. Put the first one up. Okay. And this one is called How to Make a Rumpled Bed and Leave a Disheveled Lover by Victoria Frost. I'm going to take some notes here. Upon my throne of pillows, I cannot help but enjoy the feast of your begging eyes upon my body. How you kneel at my feet, the sweat to crawl along my legs, devouring your attention, impatiently waited till I beckon. Come hither. Grovel at my toes and lay before me your sacrifice, worshiping each inch of my altar with your lips. Here I am, the divine goddess, with blessings to overflow for your devotion, and fire to rain down on your destruction. Come feast. Sit before me and see what I have to offer. Taste from my lips, savor the flavor of my sweat, and let your tongue drink down my screams as I devour your need to sate my hunger, delicious with fear and awe. Come rest. In my field of brilliance, basking within the warm afterglow, soaking in the view of my glistening skin, backlit as I make my way to wash off your sweat, needing not the awed approval of your gaze and leaving a tangled mess upon my bed. End poem. Nice, right, Richard?
See, I told you it was the time for passion.
Yeah, see that? I didn't even know. It's always a surprise to me.
I love the opening. This piece, upon my throne of pillows, I cannot help but enjoy the feast of your begging eyes upon my body, how you kneel at my feet, the thought to crawl along my legs, devouring your attention, impatiently waiting till I beckon, come hither, and then we have come feast, and then come rest. It's really nice to put together, Gene. You gave that a great read.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I thought it was an awesome write. So, the only thing could have been better is Victoria reading it herself. It would have sounded better. But it was just an awesome write, and I thought it was really well done. Wrong letter there. Yep. So that was pretty good. What time is it? It's quarter of, I think. I don't want to read Pam's piece. Why don't you pull another one, Laurent, and then the last one's mine, so, you know, I don't want to read two in a row.
All right.
I'm sure you can find something.
Yeah, yeah. I'll grab something. It won't take very long. In the meantime, you could say a word or two or three, or maybe even four.
A word or two or three. I did it all, see? Anyway, I don't know. Let's see. Tonight after midnight, we have Faziana and Babbler doing Part Sinner, Part Saint. Tomorrow night we have a tribute show for Vito Tribuzio. Anyone that knows Vito, sadly we found out that he had passed last year, actually. I don't know if no one found out or no one let us know, but we did find out just a few weeks back, and we put together a contest and a show showing a tribute to him. He was a member of Late Night Poets, and he will be missed. So anyone has the time between 10 and 12 tomorrow night, we will be running that show and reading the entries in that contest. I have a topic board up. And in the topic board, we have one of the shows from Share the Laughter, where Vito was featured. And we also have one of the notebook and pencil shows from Sunday, where Vito's work was showcased. To anyone who's interested, please take a look over there and check out the contest link and everything else. It's all there. And Vito was a great guy. Wonderful sense of humor. Very passionate in many directions. Not just, you know, passionate as men and women, but he was passionate about a lot of things. He was passionate about politics. He was passionate about humor. Everything he did, he seemed to have a wonderful drive behind it. So, you know, please check him out. And, okay, Laurent, you should have a piece in your hand by now.
Yeah, I just put it on the board.
Okay.
You want me to put it in the room?
Well, either that or I'll have to wait for me to go find it.
I'll put it in the room. All right, okay. It's up. It's just called Left Unsigned, Unassigned. Fighting wars without alcohol was a mild form of discovered hell. We sailed silver seas and jigged as if we drank daily, but we weren't the English, the Russian, or the French sailors who had their wine, their vodka, good grog for relief. Sweating bullets, always wishing, hoping for the amber neck of a bottle, bubbling with hopes and dreams to keep alive. Otherwise, they would die, stinking, alone on an ocean bottom, littered with other schemes for life, rotting in the mud under pressure, never succeeding at birth and drawing breath. We drank salt spray, sometimes pissing into the wind for laughter, chasing away the nausea that comes with living on an uncertain medium. Tin cans shook us, rolled us in the carbon dioxide of intimate respiration, impossible to recover when older, no matter the desire. Boneless we became, ink-stained and drought-ridden among the clatter of midnight keys that pockmarked the purity of paper sheets, tucked neatly between rib bones, legacy of youth. There is danger in shuttered ghosts, kept formless and at bay, closeted and locked, while we picked at tumblers that refused to click open, conveniently shut against us, despite effort, in spite of erections that refused manners and poked sharply, daily, by the minute, by the second, onto a virgin canvas of adolescent thought, left unsigned, unassigned, intended as gifts for the wild island women we would always remember in our fantasies. and pause.
Nice right, Laura. Nice right.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen this one before.
Something that attempts to communicate with the 18, 19-year-old I was when I entered the Navy, and we experienced all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm sure. Yeah, I've heard some wild stories in my day, so, you know, not from you, but I'm sure they're quite similar.
Of course.
But I think that you stated this well, and I think that you it was well written, and it was very expressive towards what actually, you know, did happen. And you know, you didn't get too deep into it, but you got deep enough to get your point across and convey the story. And I think you did it well. Definitely, you know, a well thought out piece, as always. That was great.
There is such a naive adolescence that you take with you when you leave home for the first time, really, to live elsewhere and do something entirely beyond what you might consider the norm. And the naiveness is stripped away bit by bit by bit. And there are civilian analogs, certainly, when a woman leaves high school, for instance, and all of a sudden finds herself with a baby on the way and then married. I mean, life has that incredible abrupt change to it that is perhaps comparable to many other people's trials by fire, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's just, it was really a great piece, and it was, I think you expressed a lot throughout this piece, you know. You know, of course, you know, the women and everything else. That's just a part of it. I think what you pick up from this is you get the vibe from the beginning. And you allow us to actually maintain that vibe through the entire piece. You know, it makes a person feel a certain way, and the rest of it just falls in line. You know, no matter what the topic in each stanza is or the motivation of each stanza or a couple of stanzas in a row, it doesn't make a difference. You have a way of putting people in the mindset that it all works and it all makes sense and it all fits together and it all, it's a story. It's I don't know how else to express it, but I think it was really wonderful. So great job with that.
Thank you so much.
That's what I'll say.
Okay,
well, let me just go over here and hit refresh one more time and see if anybody put anything else up. Oh, so, like they say, Tamir Pam, and I wish Pam was here to read her piece. That would have been wonderful. But she's probably getting some rest. That's
well,
a luxury.
You read well. Why don't you read it?
No, I don't like reading. I don't like, Pam has a way of reading her stuff, and I love that. So I'm just going to read my little old piece here and leave it at that.
Okay. About time you put a piece up.
Yeah, well, you know, they're all old. It's all moldy oldies. But this one is called Contented. By me, through my eyes. My love for you is born of your kindness. My desire is by the way you touch my heart. I love all you stir in me and how you make me feel alive. Breathing you in is my breath of life. I inhale you deeply into my soul. Thirsty for the gifts you share, I drink deeply from the fonts of your knowledge. Hungry for your passion, I will feast at the table of your desires. Drifting peacefully in your sweet embrace, I rest in the security you provide. Sleeping in the calm, I dream within your dreams. End quote.
Nice piece. I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I especially like by the way you touch my heart. I inhale you deeply into my soul. I will feast at the table of your desires within your dreams. You pay such careful attention to what you say and the order in which you say it. That your end lines can make a stand all alone. I thought it was a beautiful write, sweetly romantic and moving. It really succeeds. I understand that it is an old favorite of yours, and I enjoy reading your older stuff. It communicates so well.
I hope you do, because I don't write anything now, so there's nothing new. You know, we have to hang on to the moldy oldies for a while. But, I appreciate that, Ron. It wasn't a fun piece to write. It was a nice piece to write, and it expressed, I expressed it well. So that's kind of the challenge there, you know. If I can make myself happy, good Lord, that there's a miracle. But everybody, I want to thank everyone who called in tonight and hung out with us. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Passion. Thank you, Martha. And thank you, everyone who sat on the board. You know, someday maybe you guys will call in. I mean, I know you're all capable. Casey, I know you have a voice. I know it. And Frank, you too. I know it. But maybe someday. We'll see. And everyone, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend and a great week next week. Is there anything you wanted to say, Laurent? Well, I thank you for being my co-host, as always.
I want to thank you for being the hostess with the mostest.
Yeah, I thank you very much for that. Thanks, Frank. I forgot that it was my front page pick. Yeah, see? Magic. It's just magic. So anyway, it was a great night of poetry. A lot of good pieces tonight and a lot of fun. So, I think we had a good time. At least I think we did. I think that's about it. I don't think there's anything else exciting. There's a ton of things that I'd like to get going, but I'm gonna hold off for a week and then announce our newest venture. If you know, God forbid anybody, I say anything ahead of time. You know, I hate to plan anything out. Every time I make plans, something falls apart. That'll be a next week announcement. And in the meantime, I think it was a good night tonight. I liked it. It's all good. It's all good. I don't know. But anyway, I can't think of anything else. I'm sitting here in a daze because it's 3 minutes of 12 and, you know, I don't have any phones left and I don't have anything else to say. So I'm going to call it a night. You all have a great night. Take care of yourselves. Thanks, Laurent. We're out of here. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dean. Good night.
Much love.